time now for Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. An informative but laid-back approach to sports medicine on 1010XL.
Yeah.
Now, let's break some bones.
Welcome in a Sunday. We were ready to rock and roll. We kind of get you up and get you going on a Sunday morning. It's Breaking Bones. We appreciate you tuning in. If you're out and about, if you're headed for church, whatever it might be, Joe C. from XL Primetime, afternoons 2 to 4 on the Superstation. And Gio, Dr. George Barry. Gio, how you doing, man?
Good morning, man.
Listen, you look like you need to wipe the sleep out of your eyes just a little bit. What are you drinking?
Just a little proteína.
Yeah. So are you more protein than caffeine?
It just depends on my mood.
It does. Yeah. It does. Listen, I'm straight caffeine.
Depends on my mood.
I don't know if it does anything for me, but I probably should take a look at some of those protein drinks. 26 grams of protein? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, it's not much. Yeah, but it's, you know, a little more than a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does probably get a little caffeine in you, too.
Yeah. No caffeine.
No caffeine?
No.
Do you stay away from caffeine?
No, I drink coffee.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Listen, if you have caffeine cravings out there or protein cravings, you can grab something to drink, hang out with us, hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. What do? Well, it's all about sports injuries. Dr. George Barry, fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews. So if you've got an ache, a pain, joint concern, whatever it might be, you can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. We've got a guest from Rebound Rehab in here that we will talk about physical therapy, getting back. And I know you've seen this, Gio, and I'm just an old, sad sack, but I've hurt my ankle again. You want to just lop it off and tell me to deal with it.
Well, you were doing fine.
I was doing great.
Yeah.
I was doing great.
What'd you do?
I don't know. Let's ask our physical therapist, so maybe he can fix this, because the most important patient on our show is me. You know that.
Right.
All right. So Michael Metzger, who is with Rebound Rehab, joins us now. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me here. I'm happy to represent Rebound Rehab. I'm a physical therapist there. I've been there about 2 years now.
Okay, so 2 years down in the Aug. So I went from Neha at Bay Meadows down to St. Aug, which is the original Rebound Rehab location, right?
Yep.
That's when Hamant and everybody got it rolling. You guys now have 8 locations. Bottom line is, you deal in the injury world, so deal with my injury. You helped treat me once before. I feel like it's a pretty serious tendon issue, and now I've heard it again. What are we looking at?
Yeah, Joe, when you came in first time around, you're a little bit of a mess with the ankle. So we got you fixed up, though. You know, we did some what we call phase 1 rehab, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why I educated you when you were there. Ankle is really flared up. We're trying to reduce the inflammation, reduce the pain. Did some deep tissue laser therapy to help with that. Then you got into the more phase 2, where we're looking at controlled motion. So we're trying to improve your range of motion, improve your strength of your ankle. And then seems like you flared it up now again. So usually we want to go into that phase 3 motion, which is where we're trying to get you back to your activities that you used to be doing with less pain, whether that's golfing or running or doing mm-hmm. whatever you're trying to get back into doing.
And it's almost like you got to strengthen more than just the tendon, the muscle. Gio, when we talked about this originally, you said I was a medical phenomenon, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you say something like that? Because you asked around, and you're like, this guy keeps whining.
He had so much pain, and the MRI was just like swelling.
Yeah.
Right. And then I sent a couple of buddies of mine too to have them look at it, and they're like, yeah, it's just swollen.
I'm a baby. Listen, I think I'm tougher than I am. I really feel like I have a high threshold of pain, but apparently not. Apparently I don't. All right, so we're going to ask you some questions as far as the rehab world is concerned. You guys can check out reboundrehab.com. And if you have a question about anything, you can hit us 641-1010. Gio, I got to ask you at least about a couple of things here as we get things set up. Mike Trout, hurt again.
Yeah.
Okay, hurt again. He has a torn meniscus this time. He said he didn't even really realize when it happened. He's not going to be out for the entire season. What do we say? 4 to 6 weeks,
right?
I think is right now the diagnosis. But the bottom line is a torn meniscus. What are we looking
at? Yeah, they talked about doing surgery. So 4 to 6 weeks means they're going to do a meniscectomy. They're going to take out the piece of meniscus that's torn. It could be a couple reasons. Most likely it's not in the area that can be fixed, what we call the red zone, because only about 30% of the meniscus has a good blood supply. Mm-hmm. The other, you know, 70%, half of that 70% is okay blood supply, and the other half is no blood supply.
Right.
And assuming that they're taking it out for that reason, it's probably what we call the white region. So you just kind of take it out like a hangnail.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 6 weeks for an athlete. I would say a normal person, you're looking at more 8-week-ish to 12 weeks possibly.
Right.
But 4 to 6 weeks for an athlete is not out of the ordinary because they do have rehab every day and, you know, a little bit more healthier than us.
So, so hit everybody with the meniscus, where it's at and what it does.
Yeah, so you have two meniscus on in each knee. It's like a C-shaped structure, basically just cushioning of the knee joint. It also provides stability of the knee.
Okay.
And
that's what he's losing.
Well, it depends, right? If it's just a little outside portion that he's losing, I'm not going to say he's losing much stability. Now, if you go to the posterior aspect, especially the medial meniscus, and it rips out, like the root, we call the root portion rips out, and it doesn't heal well, and you can't fix it, then yes, you're going to lose some stability of the knee. But if it's just the peripheral area, then you're not really losing much stability.
Right. Okay, I want to go through the injuries that he's had, because we throw this word, Michael. Michael Metzger from Rebound Rehab's hanging out with us. He's a physical therapist. We throw this phrase, injury prone, around a bunch. Mm-hmm. And people like to dog Mike Trout, like, dude, he's injured again. And you start looking at it, and he's gone through some stuff, man. Torn thumb ligament, wrist inflammation, foot surgery, strained calf, rib cage inflammation, left hamate fracture, torn meniscus. Is that injury prone?
He's been through a lot.
But meanwhile, he's making $450 million. Yeah. But, I mean, like, that's just the wear and tear of a baseball player, is it?
Exactly, yeah. And then, like you guys talk about, right, the repetitive motion and the repetitive behaviors that they're doing as a baseball player. You're going to be at more at risk of injuries. Some people are more at risk than others, though. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah. And look, this guy is a do-everything guy, so I totally get it. But at the same time, you're looking at a guy that's just got to be – and he actually got emotional. And I know Gio laughed when I said it to him on XL Primetime earlier. Yeah.
He said he signed a $350 million guaranteed contract, and then he got emotional because he was out for 4 weeks.
But all right, so here's how I got to set the table on this.
He's probably crying because, like, I can't believe I'm still getting paid and I don't have to play.
He's like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, happiness there.
He's looking at his phone. Yeah, okay, deposit made. But the thing is that the money is a given. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a given, and now you just want to compete, and he would like to see a full year through. Baseball's a long, long season.
Right. So what does he care if he's out 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, true. Hopefully he'll come
back.
I
mean, that's like, you know, 1/50th of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's going to eat, and he'll be making cake while he's rehabbing, that's for sure. All right, I've got a few questions off the text line, 641-1010. Both of you guys can chime in on this. Doc, the orthopedic surgeon, Michael Metzger from Rebound, when it comes to rehab. Doc, I just turned 30 years old, and after numerous MRIs over 2 years, I was told I have vascular necrosis of the lunate, or Kienbock's disease.
Yes.
Ortho said, we don't have any surgery options. I'm lost, Doc, and need some guidance. I'm told I could lose 80% mobility in my wrist.
Yeah, so Kienbock's disease is basically avascular necrosis of the lunate. Avascular necrosis is when the blood supply to that bone dies. Okay. It's one of the common places in the hand for that to happen is the lunate. It can also happen in the scaphoid after a fracture. But couple things. There are treatment options. You can do surgeries. You have fusions. You have what we call proximal row carpectomies, where they remove the proximal row of the carpal bones because you have two rows. There's things you can do to try to get blood flow back. Most of the time, people do fusions or proximal row carpectomies. Now, saying that, you only do that once it gets to the advanced stage.
Okay.
He's 30. I don't know what stage he's at. It looks like he sent a picture. Looks like it might be just stage one, but all I have is kind of one screenshot. If it's a stage one, people aren't going to really push to do anything. It's immobilization, NSAIDs, and pain control. And he's 30. Mm-hmm. Once it gets to stage two and above, and he starts having severe pain, then there's discussion of surgery. So I'm assuming that's why they mentioned to him, nothing to do for right now, just kind of watch it.
Right.
I don't know what he means by losing 80% of motion. I'm not sure if he means that after the surgery, or if he means that just by, he was told that, like, from the Kienbock's disease, that's going to eventually deteriorate.
Yeah,
but that's you know, his issues. Now, you know, I'm sure if he shopped around, he could probably find a doctor who might do a surgery if he really wanted it. But like I said, I don't know how severe it is. Usually, you just watch it and NSAIDs for the beginning.
PT point of view, physical therapy
when
it comes to wrists.
Yeah, and he's a 30-year-old guy, and he's concerned about losing this much motion and strength in his wrist. I'd say he needs to come into a physical therapy session and get a personalized program. Mm-hmm. Especially, you're a young guy. You shouldn't, you know, be limited in that way. And there's a lot of things that we could do to keep your wrist and your arm strong, because it's not only your wrist. If you're using your hand a lot less, then your whole upper extremity is going to get a little bit weaker, and that's going to affect you every day. So it'd be a good idea for him to get into some physical therapy.
You know, the one thing I always think about is like whenever you're weight training and you start to use your wrist, you get real kind of whatever wristy, I guess would be a good phrase. Anyway, it pulls a lot of other tendons into play that could be injured.
Yeah, and there's a ton of tendons that connect to your forearm that go into your wrist and your hand, and all that can be affected all the way up to the shoulder.
Yeah, crazy stuff. All right, so this is kind of a weird one that we got off the text line. Doc, the calf is not working since a stroke. Any chance that it will return? I'm trying to put those two together.
I don't know. So a couple of things. How long ago was the stroke, right? Because the longer you go, the less chance of things recovering. And the calf is not working. I'm not quite sure what that means. To me, that sounds like he can't. Usually after a stroke, you get like a drop foot and, because of gravity, et cetera, if that's not going right.
Right.
But when he says my calf is not working, that sounds like he can't bring his foot down, so I'm not quite sure exactly. But anyways, he has an issue with that leg, which is very common after a stroke. Can it come back? It can. You do rehab to bring stuff back from stroke, and you kind of cross your fingers and hope you don't have permanent damage. But
from a physical therapy perspective, with the stroke, what happens is you lose part of the blood supply to your brain, right? And then you start having less nerve signals that go into your leg. So obviously in his calf, he might have lost that. And a lot of times that can come back. It comes back really slow, but it does come back. And in the physical therapy world, we talk about principles of neuroplasticity, which means that your nerves can regenerate over time. Okay. And a couple principles with that is you have to actually use it or you're going to lose it, and you have to use it to improve it. And getting into a physical therapy session, that's what they will actually work on, is just getting that calf working. Even if it's barely working, you start working in the range of motions that you can, and you progress from there. But the important thing is you got to use it, and it takes time.
All right, one more before we turn you loose. And this was one that Gio and I jumped in. I'm a radio doctor, I don't know if you know this, but we both have chimed in and offered our opinion on this. But a plantar fasciitis bump that he has in the arch area. He shot us a picture, and he said, please, Gio, the cortisone shots only do so much. Flat-footed. And so we offered a few remedies. What would you
offer? We offered.
Yeah, collectively.
Yeah.
I mean, we're together on this thing, right? We are breaking bones, man.
Yeah, and this is one of the most common things that we see in physical therapy, actually. And it's one of the most stubborn issues that people deal with. And a lot of times when they come to me with this, is I like to educate them and educate them on why it happens. And usually the explanation I give them is that you have your plantar fascia, which is a tendon underneath your foot. And that tendon helps to support your arch. And if you don't have that tendon there, your feet will just collapse, right? So it's really important you're on it every single day. The reason why usually people get issues with their plantar fascia is either overuse or trauma. I usually see overuse injuries. Mm-hmm. And the way I tell people is imagine that your plantar fascia is imagine a seesaw. And your plantar fascia is on one side, which is that tendon on the bottom of your foot. And on the other side is how much load that you're putting on your foot, right? And so if you're outside every single day working a lot and you're not working on building up the capacity of that tissue, then the seesaw is going to lean towards your load, and how much you're putting on that foot is going to exceed the capacity that that tendon can take. Mm-hmm. And when that load exceeds that capacity, you're going to get issues, you're going to get injuries. So a lot of what we do in physical therapy is we work on improving the capacity of that tissue and working on strengthening stability of the foot. And a lot of times, the internet nowadays makes people think that this is a really issue that can be healed quickly, right?
Dr. Google.
Yep. And you'll see online, like, quick fix, right? There's no quick fix to this usually. Now, there's things that we could do in physical therapy, like shockwave therapy, which is radial pressure wave therapy, which uses high pressure acoustic waves to actually improve or create micro trauma to the area, which helps to get more blood flow in the foot as well. So good physical therapy, good modalities that we have can really help with this issue. But the important thing is getting in the physical therapy and also realizing that it does take time. But as long as you're putting the work in, it can get better.
All right, beautiful. Listen, man, we appreciate it. We got plenty of good intel from all of our visitors, PTs, and is it APT? Is that the second title? Bailey, is he an APT?
Oh, PTA.
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 I was close.
You're close to it.
I was close. Yeah. Michael Metzger, you can definitely check out Rebound Rehab. 8 locations.
8 locations, yep. We got 1 in St. Augustine and 7 in Jacksonville.
All right, dude. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you so much.
All right. He's going to miss our draft analysis, but we're going to get to that and the Tom Brady roast.
Yeah. Hey, I'll listen to it later.
All right. I don't know what Michael's grade for the draft is going to be with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, buddy.
You and I briefly talked about this as the draft was unfolding, and then, of course, into this week, and we started taking a look at everything. As a matter of fact, let me just give you a couple texts from last week after the draft took place, and then I think you have a grade from somebody on the draft. So anyway, the Jaguars, you can be critical if you want. I got no problem with that. But one guy texted in, I guess we're just going to watch Trevor get his butt kicked all year. This is the other text. A kicker, another linebacker. Are you kidding me? You can get a kicker anytime. We need O-line, not guys we are unsure of, never played together, and not from D2 level schools. What did you think of the draft? What did young George think of the draft? I know he did an analysis. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. I didn't know what to think about the draft. I just know, I pay attention to the first round, then I kind of...
You drift.
Yeah. But I did see a couple... scoring sheets or whatever grade cards you want to call them.
Right.
And one was a base on draft capital over expectation.
Okay.
And they have from values to reaches, value being the number one team, and then as you reach, you get to the bottom team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jaguars were ranked out of 32 teams, 31.
Oh, come on.
On how much we reached on based on the rankings that these players had.
Did Matt
so
Hayes,
we were the second most reached team.
Did Matt Hayes do the rankings? Because he killed them. Look, here's the way I look at it. They did reach for a couple of guys, Gio, but like I'm looking at the 33rd team, which is a bunch of either former players, former coaches, GM, so on and so forth. They gave the Jaguars a B. Jaguars traded down 17 to 23, picked up three picks, got an explosive downfield target.
Well, here's another one. The Athletic came out, I think this was like 3 days ago, four days ago, with their now post-draft NFL. And I know this is all, early.
Sure.
But, if it said that we were number one, we'd all be saying, hey, look how amazing we are, right?
Better believe it.
So let's just take it for what it is. But anyways... It now has us preseason ranking based after the draft, number 26.
See, that's low.
That's very low.
Joe. I'll be honest. I have them around the middle of the pack. I have them around 18, 19.
I mean, they have the Patriots as 24, the Raiders as 25, the Commanders as 23, all better than us at 26.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Okay. But I get it. Everyone's trying to figure out a different way to look at it. The way I look at it, Gio, is when the draft was done and when the free agency period was done, they basically went out and signed or drafted 6 to 8 starters. Now, that tells you something about the team from last year, does it not? That they had to lop off either expensive or underperforming players.
Right.
And Rayshon Jenkins, Darius Williams, those guys did not play well down the stretch. May have played well early, but didn't play well down the stretch. They go out and they replace them with free agents, and then they go out there and they can't get Calvin Ridley to come back. They replace him with a first-round pick, a guy that led the college football ranks with 17 touchdowns, and then also they go out and replace a few other spots. We'll see where it goes. But look, I don't want to be the defender of Duval, but get off my lawn with the 31st grade.
I did read, though, that we have like the third or fourth highest cap space availability, which is good.
Yeah, very positive.
So we can give it all to Trevor Lawrence.
They're going to have to prepare for that. And the thing is people cannot wrap their head around the fact that T-Law is going to be the highest paid quarterback.
Listen, here's my thing.
Yeah.
I like him. I'm not saying, I don't like him, but if you're going to be the highest paid quarterback, actually, he's going to be the highest paid NFL player.
That's probably what it'll be for a short period of time, but yeah.
But you should be then the best NFL player. He's not the best NFL player.
No,
nor
he's
is
not.
He the best quarterback.
Right.
I'm not saying he's not good, but he's not playing like the best. No. And if you're the best, if you're going to get paid like the best, you should be the best.
I get it. And he's kind of far from the best right now.
Right.
And what has he led the league in 3 years? Turnovers.
I mean, I'm just saying,
So that part is true with your point of view. It's the way it works. Next guy in line going to be the highest paid. Then another guy.
The whole point is that stop.
It's just the way it is. The quarterback position is so important.
Right, I get that.
And so expensive. Here's one. I'll give you one real quick. We got to get back to some sports injuries. But Matt Stafford is looking around. He's won a team a Super Bowl. They traded for him. He delivered. He got a Super Bowl. He's looking around. He's making $40 million a year. You're like, what's your problem, bro? He's like, well, that means these other guys, like Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, they're making more than me. I got hardware. I got rings. So he's going to want more money. And so you know how it goes. That's just the way it is. Yeah. All right. We got to deliver on our promise, okay? We're the goats of sports injuries. Again, I lock myself in with you as the radio doctor and the real orthopedic surgeon. So we're the goats of sports medicine on 1010XL. You got a sports question when it comes to injuries, 641-1010. Let's try and get a couple more in before we are done. Here's the thing that I was wanting to get from you. And this one I didn't quite understand, but it says, I'm in town from St. Thomas for a surgical consultation for disc replacement surgery, C6, C7. And the question was asked, could PRP prevent surgery?
I don't know exactly what his problem is, but if he is at the point where he's getting a cervical replacement, disc replacement, then I would venture to say no.
Okay. It's just too hard.
I mean, listen, PRP is great. Stem cells are great. But in the end, they are injections.
Okay.
Okay. If you have a physical problem, an injection can only do so much and can only fix so much. Sometimes you need to go in there. It's like having a dirty car with paint chips. You can pressure wash it and it's going to look nice and clean, but some of those paint chips are still going to be there unless you physically fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you know, there's only so much these shots can do. I don't know exactly what he has. He just mentioned he's here for disc replacement. So I'm assuming that he has it, whatever it is, it's advanced
right
to the point where he needs that done.
Yeah, and just to give you an example, kind of going in the direction that you are talking about, how about this one? My dad had disc fused in his back. He's been a new man. And that was 10-ish years ago. He said it was the best decision he's made. I used to watch him literally crawl sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So we always say surgery is the last possible thing. Sometimes it's the best possible thing.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, some people hear spine surgery, they're very scared, and rightfully so, because it is, you know, it's your spine. But when you get it, if you get it when you need it, it can definitely help you and change your life, 100%.
Yeah, that is as simple as it gets. All right, let me give you a couple more in the injury front. And we brought this up on XL Primetime earlier this week, so we got to bring this up. Chris Finch, Timberwolves head coach, he's courtside, and there's this play with a couple of big human beings with the ball going out of bounds. They're rushing to get it, maintain possession, gain possession. Bottom line is they just power drive Chris French like a couple of wrestlers did to Tony Khan in AEW wrestling at Daly's Place. Anyway, torn patella tendon.
Mm, yeah.
That is bad,
very
bro.
Bad, yeah. That's an unfortunate injury. And it's not a great injury, especially at that age. He's probably in his 60s, right?
50s, I'd put him.
Okay. Still, you know, not great. Recovery for it sucks, you know, and it's really tough to get your strength back. And listen, it's a long haul, right? Mm-hmm. It's a long haul, and he's going to have surgery. I probably already had surgery, if I had to guess. And I wonder if he's going to be on the sidelines because he's going to have to be on crutches.
Yeah, because we've seen this, and it's interesting. When you talk about and I'm sure 1010XLers out there can start to picture this. You've seen a couple of guys, like even Charlie Weiss way back in the day when he was coaching on the sidelines, he gets run over by a football player, and he has to be on crutches. And I can think of a few others that have had to be on crutches on the sidelines. Well, at least in a football field, you've got a fair amount of room to dodge somebody. Well, then go courtside.
Not much.
There ain't a whole lot of room.
No. Between your team and the people that spend $20,000 a game right next to you,
yes.
You got nowhere to go.
It's a great point. And so I feel for him, and you're right. He's going to have to be on high alert if he is a guy. One more from the NBA world, and I showed you the video of this, and it didn't look like it was terrible, but Kristaps Porzingis, calf strain, and I'm telling you, when I saw it, it looked like he could have popped the Achilles, because you and I have looked at all these, either the KD injury or any of the other ones. But Porzingis, he is a big human being. He's 7'4", however big he is. And he comes down the court and he just lands awkwardly on it. And it feels like you remember the picture we saw in slow-mo of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. But whenever you have a calf strain, the next thing you're thinking about is Achilles, correct?
Well, especially in these athletes where he was pushing off and all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
You do worry about it. And then if you watch the video for him, he had KT tape on his left calf.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I originally thought, oh, man, he already had trouble with that calf, and now it's that same one. But it turned out to be the right one.
Mm-hmm.
And they have ruled out a tear, which is good for him. But they're saying it's a pretty bad strain of his soleus, right? The soleus is below the gastrocnemius.
Right.
All right,
because those are the muscle groups down there.
You know, it looks like a soleus because it looks like the fish. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's underneath the gut. So when you feel your calf, that big muscle, I mean, yours is tiny like chicken legs, but like if you look at mine,
yeah,
that's the gastroc. Underneath it is the soleus.
I've been told I have nice calves. A hacker one time told me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. He was hitting on me. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so, and it says pretty bad. So, you know, they're mentioning he might miss the second round. I mean, they swept my heat. So he doesn't really have much time to heal because they kind of went through my heat pretty quick.
There isn't really anything you can do.
No, time. You can do something. I mean, some therapy, but overall, it's just time. You got to wait.
Right. And you can put a sleeve on it.
Yeah.
But it's basically like a compression or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's basically go time. So it's kind of strange that you're telling a guy, hey, you might be a jump, a run, a pivot away from rupturing.
Well, you know, it depends,
and
right?
You're asking him to go play.
It depends. If the injury just sits in the muscle area, then I would say no problem. But if the injury's creeping from the muscle to the tendon area, musculotendinous junction, okay, then you might have a problem.
Okay.
Kind of, I think more depends on where it's at.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense when you're trying to figure out exactly what you're looking at. And because remember with Kevin Durant, they took a little bit of time to make sure that he was going to come back at the proper time. And what happened after they waited, they finally put him in a position to stress it and test it, and he ruptured it.
Yeah.
So there's no way to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, it's like Final Destination.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. By the way, real quick, as we bring up Kevin Durant, we're almost done. KD, Steph Curry, LeBron, do any of them win an NBA title again?
No. No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Unless they all come together?
I think they're still all amazing players.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're at the age where they can just sit and say, okay, it's my time to dominate for the next quarter because we need the whole fourth quarter, I'm going to dominate it. I think they're too old for that.
Yeah, that's probably wishful thinking. You are correct, sir.
I mean, they're still great. They still drop 20 points, you know. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, they can just say to themselves, I'm taking this game over. I'm over it. We're doing it. And they would do it.
Yeah.
And I think now it's kind of tough to do.
It is not the case anymore. All right, we got about a minute left. Tonight, Netflix special. Are you tuning in? Tom Brady. They're going to have the special is abbreviated as GROAT. It will be hosted by Kevin Hart. And it is a roast.
I hope it's good. I hope it's like a real, not like a... you know,
they're gonna. I hope
a G-rated role. It has to, if it's on Netflix, it better be
terrible part.
No holds bar.
And so the great roast. If anyone is a little bit up in age, the Dean Martin roast. I didn't watch him live, but I went back and watched him on tapes. I loved him. Made me laugh so hard. And then they started to kind of redo some of those on either Comedy Central,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're classic. They're gonna have Randy Moss, Drew Bledsoe, Belichick, Edelman, Gronk. It's got to be good.
Belichick, he's going to talk?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I guarantee he's going to tell.
But they don't have any comedians up there? It's just like a bunch of football
they
guys?
They got, well, Kevin Hart's hosting, and then Jeff Ross is another comedian.
Well, Jeff, yeah.
So we'll see.
All right,
have you ever been roasted?
I've not. Have you?
I don't know.
You get roasted every day on Wednesday.
I get roasted all the time. All right, Gio, thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.
Breaking Bones, they can find our show.
It's just you. Breaking Bones on Apple, Google, Spotify.
And go to 1010XL.com. You can find it there. It is real easy. Joe C., I'll talk to you tomorrow on XL Primetime. Dr. George Barry, don't forget BarryOrthopedics.com.
You've been listening to Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. on 1010XL.